You're listening
to Welcome to Comics, episode number 286. This week, we talk about Hollywood and Vine. Visit welcometocomics.com, hear past episodes, see what we're reading next, or send us feedback. This show is supported by listeners like you. Access bonus episodes by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now, the cast begins.
Scale BB-8.
I did not.
It's insane. Like they have a video with like shots of it like being held by somebody, and it's mm-hmm. it's a smaller woman, you can tell, but it's still like her entire torso. it'd be like the size, like if the base of BB-8 was at your wife's waist, it would be up to the top of it would be up to her neck.
So this is half scale from, like, how big he's supposed to be.
Yes.
In the movies.
Yes.
Okay.
So he would be proportionally, like, full scale for Lucas. Which would make for sick pictures, because he has a flight suit, right?
He has a Rebel flight suit.
Oh, David.
I'm sure this thing is really expensive.
I don't know, it's a model kit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, you have to build it yourself, and I'm sure there's like a crap ton of parts on it, because it's going to be a half-scale model kit. But it's a model kit, so you do the assembly yourself. It's just like on sprues and stuff. It's probably going to be $80.
Oh, you are very... You have a lot of faith. I feel like it'll be way more than that.
Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, yeah, it's not perfect. Well, I guess it is about perfect grade size, huh? But this, like, a perfect grade Gunpla kit is super expensive. Or, like, not super, like, it's super intricate. This is just a ball.
Yeah, perfect grade is, like, $60 for the low end.
Oh, I'm sorry, not perfect grade, real grade?
No, perfect grade is the more expensive one.
That's the big one, right?
Yeah. No, maybe you're right. One. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
I don't know.
Real grade are
one 144th.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. So you have in the notes you want to talk about Iron Fist.
So I actually didn't put that there, but I think Jen must have. So part of the reason why I'm tired right now is because I stayed up and watched the first three or so episodes of Iron Fist.
Okay.
Did I watch? And then I watched one more today. Because I ended up working from home today, because I went on a field trip with Lucas's class. But, I had read a lot of the reports about how it's really bad and this and that. And so I think that's part of the reason why it took me a while to actually sit down and start watching it. Well, when I say a while, I mean, like, what, the show's been out for, like, 5 days. So,
yeah.
No, really not that long. But the point I'm trying to make, I guess, is that while the show is definitely not as good as like Luke Jessica Cage. Jones or Luke Cage, the thing about it is that it's still, I don't know, I'm entertained by it, and so that's good enough for me.
I feel like it's better than half of the stuff that you're going to see on network television. But it's also, like, my problem with Iron Fist, my wife and I have watched the first four episodes now, mm-hmm. is that it moves really, really slow. Like, the second episode, he's in that place, and I don't want to keep this spoiler free. He's in that place for, like, the whole episode.
Yeah.
And that episode could have been half of that time span. Like, it moves excruciatingly slow. It takes forever. Like, I was talking to our mutual friend Peter about this show, and I was like, you know... It can be slow, it can have bad characters, but for me, if I'm watching an Iron Fist show, what will carry me is a really cool fight scene, like a really well-choreographed counter-counter-punch-counter-counter, like good martial arts fight scene. if you give me that, the next 20 minutes can be utter crap, and I'll be fine. Like, mm-hmm. I can ride the high of really well-done fight scenes, because I love watching martial arts.
Okay.
But it took to, like, what, the third episode to get one? That was, like, more than, like, 10 seconds long?
The thing is, though, I feel like some of the other Marvel shows were kind of slow, too.
Yeah, but this one, I mean, this is just really slow. And, like, I think the Meechums make for really good, interesting villains, especially Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Ward's really interesting because he starts out as a puppet, but every once in a while they see him kind of push back a little bit, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I can see where he will become a really interesting character, and I can see where him as a villain, like, as himself as a villain sets up from, or where his redemption could come from. Like, I'm not familiar with him in the comics well enough as a source material, so I don't know which way he's going to go, and I would love to see which way he's going to go.
Well, another thing that I thought of when I was, you know, the thing like Luke Cage, for example, had the advantage of the fact that audiences already knew who Luke Cage was, because he was in Jessica Jones. Like, so there was some establishing stuff that was that we didn't need because, you know, it had already come through in the other show.
That said, my wife and I didn't watch Jessica Jones, but we did watch Luke Cage, and we were fine not having seen Jessica Jones. Luke Cage does a good job of dropping you in and running with it.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary, but I think maybe the creators of the show of Iron Fist wanted to, like, spend more time establishing it. I don't know. I'm kind of just guessing. The thing is, I don't think the show is really, horrendous. I've watched much worse TV shows. I think the thing is that people are comparing it to the other Marvel shows, and rightly so. You know, they're all from the same universe, like, you know. They're all from essentially the same production company, but it's different directors, different actors, different writers.
Yep.
And they weren't, the thing is, like, the Netflix set themselves a very high bar with the first three shows.
Yes.
And I don't want to say that, you know, there's bound to be some, like, a stinker in there, but the thing is that,
It's regression to the mean, law of averages. Like,
one of the shows is going to be the worst show,
no matter what,
because that's how we as consumers of media consider things. You know, we compare shows against other shows. Now, it's impossible to say how we would think of Iron Fist
in the vacuum.
In a vacuum, and right. And I think probably it would not be as high. It still would probably not be, like, a great show, because there certainly is, you know, the characters aren't super highly developed and that kind of thing. They're not great characters. The dialogue is not that interesting in some cases, but I think that, me personally, I'm okay with giving, well, because I'm entertained by the show, and because how well Marvel and Netflix have done as a team with the other three shows, I'm willing to give them a pass on this. You know?
Yeah.
And so, I'm not going to say, I'm never going to watch a Marvel TV show again, because it's still not that bad.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of what I'm reading in terms of, like, criticism is the fact that Danny Rand is a white guy, and it feels like something, like, it feels like something from the 70s in not a good way.
Yeah.
Like, the white guy has fallen from the skies and is somehow better at the Asian stuff than the Asians. And, like, I understand, and I had this discussion as well with Peter before, so that's why I have, like, well thought out in my head, when normally I don't. But, like, he...
Mm-hmm.
I get that, and that's bad, right? And it's something that when, before the show came out, I was like, no, this is like the one character where it feels like it makes sense, or where it should make sense, because his being an outsider is how he connects with Luke Cage. So it's like, this is where it can't. And it always felt weird to me that, like, you would want to, like, oh, it's a martial arts, let's make it Asian. Like, that feels kind of racist, too. So my thing before was always like, okay, well, you know, make him anything else. Make him Mexican, make him, you know, make him Middle Eastern, make him whatever. So long as he's just not white, that's fine, and not Asian. But then also watching this, I feel like I was wrong, not just because it feels icky in the representational way, but also, like, when you see Danny spout off a Buddhist line as he's sitting in his hoodie, like his ratty hoodie, in the lotus position, like, he is genuinely that person, but he also looks like a stupid rich kid hipster.
And people call him out on that in the show. For what it's worth, he gets called out, but.
Yeah, and it's like, I realize that he is coming to that space from a genuine position of having grown up in that culture for 15 friggin' years. Like, I recognize that. But on the flip side, watching it, I can't distance myself. Like, I can't see Danny as anything other than the rich kid hipster spouting off some line they read in a Buddhist Kindle book.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm coming at it from there's like two sides within me. That one of them, the person who's been reading Marvel since I was a kid, wants, like, feels like I'm happy that they stayed true to the character, but at the same time I feel like this is a good opportunity to bring something that is representative of a different time in American history and update it for, you know, for the 21st century. Yeah. And so it is a bit of a lost, I think it's definitely a lost opportunity.
What I really like.
But the thing is, like, that issue is something that goes beyond Iron Fist, the TV show Iron Fist, you know. And I'm not trying to excuse the show. But, you know, it's part of a bigger problem in the landscape of media.
Yeah, and it's a big reason why the show is getting panned. But realistically, it's not something that affects character, plot, story, dialogue. You know, like Danny being a white guy doesn't change Ward Meacham as a character or Joy Meacham. Like, it doesn't change anybody else in the show. It doesn't. Like, there's still other problems outstanding, but it seems to be the only thing that people cling on to. And they also ignore the good stuff because, oh, Danny's white and that feels icky. You know, like, there's also good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, it's not an easy thing to talk about, I guess. Especially, I think, for you and me being two white guys.
Yes. But well, no, you're the other thing people were saying is, okay, make him half Asian. In which case, you would be Danny here. Like, they're looking for somebody like you.
The thing is, like, I don't look Asian enough to.
No, you look Mexican.
I look Mexican, right, exactly.
Yeah. But you know what I did see in the last week that I loved and thought would have been a fantastic idea? Christopher Anka did two redesigns of Iron Fist, one with him as being half Asian dude, and another one, Danny Rand, D-A-N-I, as a female half Asian Iron Fist. And that one's really cool. And I love the idea of gender flipping too, because then you can make him half Asian, and then you're not, if you make it a female and to make her half Asian, then you're not hitting my bugaboo of, well, that feels kind of racist too, because you've done the gender flip, which shows that you're actively trying to be representational, and not like just throwing, oh, well, you know, martial arts, Asian character, like that kind of tokenism either. Like, I feel like you're not hitting that. I don't know. That would feel so much better to me. And that would, like, from what I've seen of the first four episodes, it wouldn't change anything in the story. It would be the exact same story.
Yeah. And the thing, I mean, they've done it to a small degree in the Netflix universe, because Carrie Ann Moss's character, Hogarth, is a man in the comics.
Yeah. And she's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
Hogarth is great.
I really like her in the show.
And I really like, I didn't finish watching Jessica Jones. We watched the first episode, and after the ending of the first episode, I was like, nah, I ain't gonna do this. This is too fucked up for me. But what I think
you're missing out on something good by... Probably. But, you know, everybody has their own, like,
Well, and also, like, we only limits. Have so much time. We only, like, yeah, we have time to watch, like, one episode of something a night.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's like, I would rather, like, we would rather keep giving Iron Fist a shot until we get bored or give up on it than go into Jessica Jones and being like, we did a long day, and we came home and watched a kid kill her parents. Like, nah. I want something. Like, we'll throw on Cheers instead. Like, that's fine. We still got to get through Cheers. What was I just saying? Shit. I don't know. This is going to happen a lot tonight. We're both tired as hell. You want to talk about this week's comic?
Sure.
This week's comic.
This week, reread Faith, Hollywood and Vine, written by Jody Hauser, with art by Francis Portella and Marguerite Sauvage. Sauvage does the daydream sequences that are a little bit more embellished. And this comic, David, I love this comic, not because it's so good. I love this comic because it addresses something that I've always been yelling about for like the last 10 years in comics. Like, why is every single character a supermodel when it doesn't matter for their powers? And why is every dude super, like, there's literally no reason that Superman has to be super buff and sport a six-pack. His powers don't come from anything of his actual physiology except for the fact that he's a solar energy battery, in which case he could look like anything. And, like, why is Jean Grey a supermodel? She's a straight-up telepath. Like, she could...
Yeah, like, I mean, there's some characters...
Like, there's very few, and they tend to be villains, the fat characters.
Well, sorry, yeah.
The overweight characters.
There's some characters where it makes sense for them to be ripped, like Iron Fist, I think, or... Yeah,
Iron Fist should be ripped.
Luke characters, Cage, characters, Kirby. Characters who don't necessarily need to be... That, characters that don't have powers that make them strong.
Yeah.
Like, like Wolverine, it makes sense for him to be ripped because his body, the way his power works.
The constant regeneration of his cells.
Plus, his body has to support the weight of his metal skeleton.
Yeah, he's basically carrying that around all day.
Yeah, so it makes sense for him to be ripped, but
Magneto could weigh 400 pounds.
And exactly.
And it would not change his power level at all. One iota.
Or Professor Xavier.
Yeah. I mean, it's Professor Xavier is in a wheelchair. So. Like, I'm willing to give them a pass on body type there a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, there's so many times, like, it doesn't matter. And with the character like Faith, it doesn't matter. All of her powers are mind-based powers. Like, the flight, the flight and everything else, literally her physique has nothing to do with her abilities. So she can look like anything. And I appreciate that they don't shy away from her body shape. They don't shy away from her representation of her self-image. Like, even in her daydreams, she's not super thin all of a sudden. She's just, like, got more cleavage and has a little bit bigger boobs.
Yeah.
But even in her daydreams, she's the same person. And I really, really appreciate that. And, like, they don't shy away from drawing her as she really would be. Like, they draw the double chin. They draw the unflattering parts. And when she... looks good in the daydreams, they're flattering with that body type too. And I just, like, I really appreciate the way it was handled, especially as a guy who was overweight and who was way more overweight not too long ago. Like, I really appreciate that this was done in a genuine way and not, like, there's never anything about this that's poke funny or draws extra attention to the fact, like, hey, look, we got a fat character. Like, there's never any of that. It's just, this is this woman and this is what she looks like, and that's okay. And we're just going to go along with the comic like it's not a thing, because it's not.
No, and that's, I think, what's great about it is that it's not addressed. It doesn't need to be. It's not something that needs to be addressed at all, because it's just, it's reality. It's it's reality for us in the real world that people have different body shapes like that. And it's just the reality of that comic is that, you know, she's a badass superhero, but she's also overweight. And that's just how it is. Yeah. Cause a lot of the overweight characters we see in comics, unfortunately, the overweightness is part of their character, like the Blob from X-Men.
Yes. the only hero I can think of is Bouncing Boy from the Legion. Is that his name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bouncing Boy.
That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah.
Is there an overweight hero?
The only one that I always come back to is Butterball, and he was, like, barely in the comics.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's... Oh, no, even Big Bertha from the Great Lakes Avengers, like, she can change the shape of her body.
Yeah, shape-shifting doesn't count.
Nah. But Butterball is stuck in his body shape, but he's a very sad character, so I think it's... I don't think it is, like, a good... It's not a good representation of...
Well, actually, you know, I take it back. Like, there was one instance where her body shape and her body style and her character design mattered. And it was a subtle, really, really good point. It's when Faith decides to go see Torque, right? Mm-hmm. And they have their little conversation. And as she's flying away, Torque's ditzy girlfriend... What was her name? Summer?
Sydney.
Torque's ditzy girlfriend, Sydney, says... That's your ex-girlfriend? Wow. Like, the implication, like, you did that?
Well, Sydney's a bitch, so...
Yeah, Sydney a bitch, and Sydney's an alien. But what I like about that is Torque immediately says, like, you shut your mouth right now. Like, he shuts her down.
Yeah.
And it's something that, if you didn't know his character, like, I had no idea about this team in this universe at all before this comic. But what I learned later on is that the way Torque looks on the outside and that we see him as the reader is not his actual body. And I did a little bit of reading on this, like, Torque does a project, like, he does a visual projection, so what you see is what he's projecting into your mind for him to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not that super buff dude, and I get the feeling Torque hasn't told Sydney that he's not that super buff dude. Like, I'm willing to bet Sydney thinks Torque looks like that. So then when Sydney says something about the way Faith looks, like, that hits home for Torque. In a way that's personal to him, too. And it's like, you instantly get that, like, he is on the opposite side of the body representation spectrum. Like, his body fits inside his projection's body. Like, he's a small, scrawny guy who probably has body image issues, too. But on the other end of the spectrum. And I really appreciate that moment because it shows you that it does matter for people who are like Sydney. And these people are the heroes, and they shut that bitch down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that what's unfortunate is that part of the reason why this comic stands out is because they're, I'm using air quotes here, brave enough to make a character that looks like Faith. But it's also great that they're doing it because, you know, it's something that, you know, it goes back to representation, right? Mm-hmm. Like we talked about with Iron Fist. It's just one of those things that people like to see themselves in these fictional characters.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really good that that Faith as a character exists. And I hope that, you know, she doesn't just remain a token character.
Yeah. Oh, Summer. So Summer was her alter ego.
Yeah.
And okay, the first time I saw the alter ego, I was like, is that Gail Simone?
Aw.
It's the red curly hair and the glasses.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's supposed to be Gail Simone.
I don't think my mind went there, but now that you say that, I can definitely see it.
Because there's a bunch of those references in here, like just one off little things that maybe aren't even mentioned. Like Chris Criswell is definitely Chris Evans. Like, that's Captain America, right?
Yeah, clearly.
And she says, like, Frel in here somewhere, and Goram, like, oh, Firefly!
Yeah.
Oh,
she Farscape. Really likes Firefly, yeah.
Farscape. That's a reference, like, a small percentage of people is going to get. But the audience for this comic probably will get it.
Yeah.
Which, this comic, I had no idea. Like, I knew Valiant was a publisher, but I had no idea they had, like, a fleshed-out universe like this.
Well, I think Valiant kind of went into a lull for a while, And now they're kind of bringing, they're kind of ramping back up.
Okay.
Because I had... like with Exo Man of War and like Exo Man of War, I remember being a, like a Super Nintendo game.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was like, where the hell did I hear that from?
Apparently, he is a Valiant character.
Huh. Yeah, because in this comic, Face talks about like her team.
I mean, he's,
and
dude,
the role that she had.
Sorry, this is a little bit of a tangent. I just looked up Exo Man of War. It's he was created by Jim Shooter and Bob Layton. Like, they're not small creators.
No, dude, we've read multiples of both of them.
Yeah.
This show.
So
and,
maybe
yeah,
we
and
should
like, and like his classic comics too. Yeah, we should look at some of this stuff from Valiant.
Yeah, because we're only reading. I think the main reason we're reading this is because Faith became popular because of a little bit of unfortunate tokenism, but it's still a good comic. So
yeah, and
bonus.
I like it because like. I picked this up having no idea that Valiant had a fleshed out universe. But here I am, and I was able to enjoy this comic, and I got enough of what her past was without having to have it explained to me. Like, she wasn't a team, she chose to leave them, she was with Rourke, she chose to leave him, or maybe it was an amicable breakup, I don't know what happened there. It's kind of ambiguous for me. And for the course of this story, and the course of getting to know Faith, I don't need those details. I get everything I need in this comic, and what it does is, because I'm not given everything, and I enjoy Faith, and I enjoy the context of this world that she's in, I kind of want to go back and read the team stuff. I kind of want to go back and see where she was before this. And I like that it's not like, you don't get the Marvel, like, full-page text introduction that you have to slog through at the beginning of this trade. It just kind of dumps you in there. There's a full-page spread and a couple text boxes, and it's all the context that you need. And we're off and running.
Yeah.
I love that.
Word.
All right.
No, I think that makes it a good intro into this universe. Because I think part of the problem with some of the larger publishers and established characters is that there's a lot of baggage and backstory. Yeah. And there obviously is backstory here, but at the same time, you know, we are not... It's not a burden to the reader.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually, you could say, is very meta for this comic, because Zephyr seems to be a very non-baggage person. And this comic is very non-baggage. And I think it's a great meta-level reflection of her powers and how she's... Like, her powers are based around, like, her flying and her, you know, like... Her being windborne and like wind powers and flight, and that's how her psyop powers manifest. I don't know how psyops work, but that's what I'm like getting out of this.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I'm like, sure, cool. We can roll with this. So I love that, like the meta level, like she's flying. She's the weight stuff with the wind, and similar. She is a very like her personality is low baggage. Her personality is high acceptance. Just like sure, yeah, whatever. You're into that show. That's cool. Let's do this stupid. Half cyborg show. Night Shifters? Oh,
yeah.
God. Every time we got a piece of that show, it was so bad. Oh, God.
I think that's on purpose.
Yeah. But I mean, it's one of those things that might look super bad to us, but in the context of an actual show, would be actually good. Like Farscape? My God. If I showed a random episode of Farscape to my wife, she'd be, what the fuck is this puppet shit?
Andy, I know. Like, I. Before I knew you, I tried to watch Farscape. After you told me how much you loved it, I tried to watch Farscape. I still haven't made it through the whole first season of Farscape, so...
Yeah. I wouldn't say that...
Let's put that out there.
I wouldn't say that I love it. I watched it once. I really enjoyed it when I was watching it, and I don't feel the need to go back to it. There's some concepts in it that I really like. They do a lot of like cool stuff with wormholes and space and the way space is representational for characters. Like... They do some really cool, like meta in-universe things that are neat. But, it's fine. It's not one that's, like, must-watch, I think. But, yeah, there's stuff that looks and feels crazy and stupid on the outside that maybe when you're watching it, it's something you can just kind of push through. But, man, it did look kind of bad a lot of places.
Yeah,
so
it does.
What, that said, like talking about fandom and references to things, what did you think of Faith as a character? Did you like her?
Yeah, I think in generally I did like her. I mean, I think I'm just guessing here. I'm trying to figure, like, trying to understand what you're getting at when you're asking me this question.
Well, okay.
I was
trying to guide it somewhere, but I guess I should have been more like, I'm confused about whether or not I like Faith, because
as a person,
as a character, yeah, because I'm thinking the closest other character I can think of that we've read to Faith is Kamala Khan, and Kamala Khan I liked as a character, and her love of fandoms helped me connect with her closer. Like, I saw, like, she was talking about Tumblr and that kind of stuff, and I was like, hey, I'm on Tumblr too. And the way she nerded out over superheroes. But I liked Kamala Khan first, and then that helped me get that extra mile to loving Kamala. And with Faith, I don't know if I like Faith or if I like the references that Faith makes. Like, at what point is Faith as a character actually an interesting person? And at what point is the author going, hey, Frel, that's Farscape. Guys, do you watch Farscape, right? Come on, nerds, yeah, Farscape. You know, like, Frel is a cool callback to a show that I enjoyed, but that doesn't necessarily mean I like Faith. You know? And I'm right now in this point where I can't decide one way or the other, because she seems kind of like a weak-ish character in, like, her workplace. I like her studio. I like her interactions with her internet friend, who becomes the archer. But I'm torn. But whether or not I actually like her as a character.
Yeah. See. So. I thought that a lot of the fandom references was a little bit over the top.
Hmm.
To me, she kind of, in some ways, represents the part of fan person, like, blind faith, or, you know, lack of real constructive criticism for the behind whatever they love. I think she kind of represents, so I found it a little bit annoying
that you have to love everything.
But at the same time, I did appreciate I enjoyed some of the references.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think there's a little bit of that vibe in there. Correct.
But the thing is, like, you know, I've only read the first four issues of this comic, right? So what I'm willing to do is accept that for maybe something done on purpose. Like, she's supposed to be a little bit annoying because there are people like that in the world, you know. I'm sure people get annoyed about me talking about Star Wars all the time, or, you know, race cars or whatever things that I talk about. That's just, you know, people get excited about the things they get excited about, and so if you're not necessarily excited about those things too, it can come across as annoying. So I don't know. There are some characters I really like that I also find annoying on some level. So, I think being an ideal personality or person is not necessary to be a good character.
Hmm.
So I think I can, okay, for example, Quark, if I knew Quark from Deep Space Nine in real life, he would be fucking annoying. But I really love that character, right?
That's true, yeah.
And so I'm willing to say, you know, this is just the character, and I don't know enough about the character yet to say whether or not the annoyingness is an endearing part of the character as somebody who's reading from the outside. Like, if I had to interact with Quark, I'd probably react to him in the same way that Captain Sisko does, or maybe Odo to a certain level. But as a person who is just watching, I think I really enjoy watching Quark. So we'll see what happens. I found there were some times though when I did find the pop culture references a little bit heavy-handed, or like it just keeps on, you know, the hits keep on coming, right? Like the last page, she gets invited to the D&D group, right? It's like, yeah. Do we really need that? I don't know. But it is one way of saying that she's like endearing herself to her coworkers to a certain degree. So who knows? Maybe it's not a big deal.
Well, I mean, there's ways to show that. There's ways to show that without the nerd reference too. Like, I appreciate that the guy who was a dick to her is now coming around and inviting her, and like he's nerdy too, and that's how she connects with people, is on that nerdy level. And I get that. Like in my workplace, I have one friend because he's also a nerd. Everybody else, I'm kind of just like, you know, work acquaintances with. I had one work friend. So I understand the concept that like as a nerd, I have these things that I can talk about. And you want to talk about what was on cable TV yesterday. I don't know. I mean, that's a bad example. I don't know. Like, I don't even know what norms talk about.
Normies?
About Star Wars and comics. I don't know what normies talk about. Everybody I hang out with talks about Star Wars and Star Trek and shit like that. I don't know what norms. Well, I don't even know what norms talk about. But I appreciate that in this comic.
Norms.
I appreciate that in this comic, her non-nerdy coworkers take her side too, and that they seem to genuinely, that she genuinely grows on them anyway. Her boss starts giving her a pass, and everybody else kind of gives her a pass when they find out that she's Faith. And she's sleeping in meetings. but she's Zephyr. Sorry, she's Zephyr.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that kept confusing me, too.
Well, she is. She's Faith and she's Zephyr.
Yeah, Faith is her real name. Summer is her cover name. And Zephyr is her superhero name.
Right.
Yes. Yes. No, and okay, so here's what it comes to for me with Faith as a character. Like, if you went to Faith and said, I tried watching Farscape and I just don't like it, do you think she would be accepting of your not liking it, or do you think she would push you to watch it again, or think that you didn't have good taste because you didn't like Farscape?
I think she'd be accepting of it.
Okay. I think passes muster.
I think she's just very excited, but she's also accepting of that people are who they are. So
what was your favorite moment in this comic?
My favorite moment, I actually really liked the puppy scene.
Yes, me too.
Because I feel like that was what. So talking about, we kind of talked about being genuine. I feel like that is a genuine reaction people have to puppies. Yeah. You know, it's like, holy shit, you're gonna shoot puppies? No herd puppies.
Yeah, what did she say? I have it up too. She says, no shooting at puppies. She has a like super angry face.
Yeah. And so I really like that that part.
That was good. And I like that one too, because she was like, she was going out, she didn't know what to expect, and she was looking for something to do to genuinely save people. And she was like, you get the feeling she was disappointed that it was only puppies. And she wanted it to be something more.
Yeah.
But when she got in there, she got into it, and she stopped the bad guys, and she defended the puppies. She protected them in her shield, you know? And not like, oh, she did what she needed to do for the puppies, but like, she was kind of disappointed, but she got into it, and she found that she was passionate about that too. Like, it's a good opening reflection of how she feels as a character and where she is, like going in, not knowing what she's expecting and discovering that she actually kind of likes it there, but maybe needs to find something to do.
Yeah.
The one I really liked is when Sydney reveals herself as being a vine and knocks Torque the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I didn't see that shit coming.
I didn't. I thought she was a regular old bimbo.
I thought she was a moon bather. It's that too. Oh my god.
A moon bather.
Those two are great.
Yeah.
That's like the best fucking thing. But that's something you know would get around as popular in those groups. Like that idea. Oh god. Oh, Jen didn't put a favorite. Oh, yeah, Jen's not here, by the way, everybody.
It's because of German Daylight Savings Time, yeah. For those who are wondering.
Yeah, we did Daylight Savings Time about 2 weeks ago, and Jen's doing hers next week, so Jen's already getting up in, like, the butt crack of dawn. Getting up an hour before the butt crack of dawn is even worse. But Jen did put a rating in here, so I feel like this is kind of a short episode, but that's because we're going late. And as much as there's talk about representation and Faith as a character, it's kind of weird. There's not really other characters in here. There's there's the archer, her friend on the computer, and they're her kind of like the will they want they between them. There's the ex with Torque. Torque's got some interesting things, but I feel like a lot of the characters that make cameos in here were supposed to carry over knowledge from a previous comic. But not having read those, these don't feel like fleshed. I mean, they feel like they're characters who are fleshed out, but I don't have that knowledge. So for me, they just feel like they're kind of in here, and I don't really have enough to, like, talk about Torque as a character per se, other than that he's a douche. He's a douche with a heart of gold, I don't know.
I feel like he's putting on an act to a certain degree because he's on this reality show.
I mean, he's putting on an act constantly because the way he doesn't look like that. Like his entire personality is, his entire existence is the putting on of an act. So yeah, I feel like that's not his personality and that's not the way he looks. That's not the real Torque. And I think Faith knows the real Torque, but I think Torque wants to be his projection. And when he's with Faith, he probably is himself, and he doesn't want to be himself.
I'm getting the, I kind of get the impression that maybe, Faith left Torque, maybe because he was projecting too much, yeah.
Could be. Yeah. There we go. See, we just covered Torque in 30 seconds. So I feel like we're cutting this comic a little bit short and maybe not doing it, justice. But I mean, the other stuff we can talk about. We haven't talked about the art at all. The art was good. It was cool that Jen says in the notes too, it was cool that the daydreams are a different art style from the rest of it. And they chose really good artists for both. Like the daydreams feel similar, but have that glossed over kind of feel and slightly more embellished and exaggerated.
It really feels cool. Like a daydream would be.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, we talked about art a little bit early on, Faith and her facial expressions and how she gets the double chin and the flattering versus unflattering drawing. We talked about that earlier. So, yeah, let's just rate this. Let's rate this. Dave, why don't you go first?
I'm going to give this... let's go with a 3.5.
Okay.
I think it's a good comic. I mean, it's definitely above average, and it's interesting. It presents a new kind. I hate saying new kind of hero. That feels like all new, all different Spider-Man, who's really still Peter Parker. But I think that there isn't really a character like this in comics, and representation's important, so and I think this is done in a good way. Like it makes a character, represents a character who is representative of a group that is underrepresented, but it doesn't make that representation an issue. It's not like, hey, read this comic because of the way Faith looks.
Yeah.
Is that a way that is drawing in audiences? Probably, and I think that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But but what's good about this comic is that it doesn't, that there's more to it than just that. You know?
Yeah.
And I thought the story was pretty good. It's not the most, like, riveting comic I've ever read, but, I still enjoyed it, and it's a pretty good story, and I don't really have any real complaints about it, but it's not also like earth-shattering, new ways of looking at comics. So
yeah, and this representation is is difficult to share. Like, okay, I've got family who are Indian, and if there's a superhero with an Indian person on the cover, I'm going to, hey, you should read this. This is awesome. It's got somebody from your culture on the cover, and it's your culture is underrepresented in comics, and I think this is really cool. And if it happens to be a comic, that's great. But you can't do that with this. You can't be like, hey, you know, you're kind of fat. Check out this other fat person. Like, you can't do that. So it does exist in a slightly weird place. That if it were bad, it would still be progressive, but it wouldn't. Like, it has to be good, right? So you can just say, this is a good comic, not, here's another fat person. So Jen, go ahead and put her rating in the notes. Jen said she's going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. She says, overall, a likable cast of characters with a good amount of depth, especially Faith. She's the kind of hero I like to read about. The plot for this trade was a bit meh, but I really appreciated that they took a pretty standard Cape comic plot, but used it to its fullest to show off how Faith reacts in various situations. I like that summary too. It's another 3.5 from her. And yeah, it is a pretty standard Cape comic. There's a mystery, let's solve it. Oh no, it's an alien invasion. Time to stop it. But it does do a good job of making Faith find her footing in a new area. And it's easy to find your footing with a relatively tried and true story. It's like when you launch a new Avengers title, bring in Kang.
Everybody loves Kang.
It's just what you do. I mean, it's Kang. And where do you start a new Justice League? Bring in Starro. It's what you do.
Yeah.
I'm going to also give this a 3.5. We'll make it 3.5s all around. This was just a fun, good comic, but at the end of the day, I feel like the only real character we can dig our teeth in and talk about is Faith. And even then, like I said before, I don't know that I like Faith because there's so many fandom references in here. And there's nothing wrong with fandom references, but it happens enough that I lose track of where the character ends and the reference for the reference's sake begins. And if she's a super fan, that's great. I'm a super fan too, and I don't go around talking about the Force. At work. I mean, she doesn't either. I guess it's mostly in her internal monologue that she uses frail and stuff. I don't know. I might have to reevaluate a little bit, but I'm going to also give this 3.5. The art was really good. It was fun to read. But I feel like the best thing I can say about this is I had no idea about this universe in Valiant Comics, and now I want to know more. I want to go back and I want to read Faith and other things, and I want to see Torque and Faith's relationship and how it ended. I want to see the backstory for this character. Because like you said, it is representational in a good way. Like, as a white man, there's not a lot of things I can latch onto as being representational of me in a special way. You know, yeah. Like, what I'm trying to say is I can't relate to the feeling, right? Like, when a Muslim American picks up Ms. Marvel and reads Kamala Khan, there's something that happens there that I couldn't even come close to understanding until I pick up Faith. And Faith is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman, but she is in one aspect representational, and that's an aspect in which I connect with her as a character. So I can have, thanks to this comic, I can have some small idea of what that feels like for these people. For these people who pick up America and read Miss America Chavez, and these people who pick up Ms. Marvel and read Kamala Khan, and these people who pick up the Green Lantern with Simon Baz. Like, I get a sense of what it feels like for these people, and that's really good. Because context is great, and it's something like I don't have that anywhere else. I'm a straight white man. Like, that's not a feeling I can have actual empathy. I can have sympathy for, but I have no idea what that feels like, and I couldn't have actual empathy as the strict definition of empathy goes for what that was until now, and it feels good. It feels really good to finally read a comic that has an overweight character in it, because it doesn't matter what the fuck her physiology is. Like, I started the show with that, and I'm going to end it with that, because I've been wanting it for so long, and here it is! Yay, I want to read more Faith now. So yeah, 3.5's all around. Because that's great, but it was meh. That's it for this. Next week, we're going to read Monstrous by Marjorie Liu. We're going to read Monstrous Awakening by Marjorie Liu. This run started in 2015, but carried it over into 2016. It's going to wrap up our Best of 2016 series. Best of 2016 Mega Series, because it's more than four episodes long. If you want to know what we have coming up after that, we have the next 10 episodes planned out on the website. If you go to welcometocomics.com, on the left, hit the button that says Future Shows. You can see everything we have coming up. If you click on Past Shows, you can listen to our 285 previous episodes, which is fucking insane that we've done this for so long. You can also hit contact, send us a message, go straight to my personal inbox. You can go to patreon.com/welcometocomics, support the show. We have rejiggered it a little bit. Right now, if you become a patron for any amount, even a penny, you get access to a bonus episode once a month. If you become a patron at the $5 level or more, I'm going to grab a comic out of my long box and mail it to you. And if you become a patron for $10 or more, you become an associate producer, and we're going to give you a call out every single episode. That'll happen. If we ever get somebody for 10 bucks. 10 bucks a month. You can be an associate producer. You can put that shit on your resume, and they can call me, and I will back it up. Be like, yeah. He contributes to our show in a way that nobody else has. We'll see. That's it for this week. Until next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.